And secondly, there may have been episodes of really major flooding. The problem with flooding is that it's very, very difficult to pick up in the archaeological record. Sir Mortimer Wheeler, who excavated Harappa and Mohenjo-daro, found some skeletons, which he said were the victims of a flood, right at the top of the site, but only a few skeletons, and those cannot be used, really, as evidence of flooding. But you have the evidence of a drastically modified environment by production of food production. You've got chronic erosion. You've got dense urban populations. You have earthquakes, earth movements, which cause a major river to dry up. And you've got all the ecological ingredients for a major disaster. And what is the only defense in these situations? To disperse. Disperse into smaller communities. And that is what happened. But these smaller communities were of immense importance because in them were preserved some very important cultural traits of later times, perhaps among them the roots of Hinduism. By 1500 BC, a new crop was growing in India. It was growing in the low-lying Ganges Valley, hot and humid, to the east, a place where the wheat and barley of the much drier Indus Valley would not grow. Rice, as you know, was a very, very productive crop. And as a result, the gravity, the center of gravity of South Asian civilization shifted eastwards to the Ganges. It didn't happen at once. It happened, as we will see, many centuries after the collapse of Harappan urban civilization. But there was this shift to the east, which was to have momentous consequences for the later history, not only of South Asia, but also of Southeast Asia. But by the time Harappan civilization collapsed, a notion, a pattern of civilization, was firmly established in India. And it was a matter of time in South Asia before further civilizations arose. And this time they rose with the economic foundation of rice. The greatest legacy of the Harappan civilization may be religious beliefs, the roots of modern Hinduism. But it also laid another terribly fundamental root or foundation for history. And that was the sea-going routes that linked the Indus with Mesopotamia. Of course, when the cities survived, there may have been a decline in this trade, but no one is suggesting that the trade and the contact did not continue, because the contact between these two areas by coasting ships and even over land was one of the ingredients which led to the Indian Ocean becoming such a major center of trade in the Christian era, much later, which, as we will see in the next lecture, was of great importance to the development of civilization, not only in Southeast Asia, but also on the African coast. But here we've looked back at the foundations. We've described the origins of the Harappan civilization in India and its development in part as the result of expanding trade with the Sumerians of Mesopotamia after about 2600 BC. I've looked at some of the differences very briefly between Harappan and Mesopotamian civilization, epitomized by the large cities and apparently humble bearing of Harappan rulers. We're in a very different world than the megalomaniac world of Assyrian monarchs or Sumerian monarchs, or even later in Southeast Asia of Khmer monarchs. These people may have been very spiritual leaders. And we have concluded that the spiritual roots of Hinduism may lie far back in Harappan times. And finally, we describe the collapse of Harappan civilization due in part to environmental change. And we commented that there's this strategy when a city collapses, which we'll also find much later with the Maya, where people simply disperse into villages. They disperse because the viability of cities and maybe the authority of the rulers is evaporated. But the connections and the ideas were fertilized in South Asian minds and surfaced again in the story of later South Asian civilization, described in the next lecture in the course.